Hi, Shauna. Hi, Nicole. Let me get there. Okay. So, hi, everybody. Happy April. We've got a clinic call today. So, we've got open Q&A, and you all know this is an opportunity to bring forward anything that you need support on right now. So if you've got a client case study that you want to take a look at, this is the opportunity to do it. If you want to take a look at something going on in a group program, an exercise, something like that, this is the opportunity to do it. If you've got a question about a prospect or marketing or team or systems, this is the opportunity to do it. And if you want to bring forward an inner block, this is an opportunity to do it as well. In a moment, I'm going to open up the floor for Q&A, but before we get there, here's a question to journal on for a moment. What does the spring want for you and your work? What does the spring want for you and your work? I'll give you a little bit longer with that. What does the spring want for you and your work? And the next question, what is the new habit that will support this vision? What is the new habit that will support this vision? Okay. And with that, I'll open up for cues. Kara.
Hi, Joanna. So what spring is wanting from me and my work? I've been in a process since we talked in the end of the year around kind of stepping into like my truth teller self, and I've been practicing it more at home. These last months and in personal relationships. And I feel like the spring wants me to start sharing more. And just these last few days, I've started kind of like writing, right? Just like writing. And I had this insight, and this is like what my work wants from me, is that I'm here right now to write my way back to the truth of who I am, that got muddled in my, in like claiming my own wisdom, and that it's like work, you know, it's like, it's not just there at the surface. Like I have to, like writing is the excavation of my wisdom for me. And it's profound, you know, given my background, where there was like a messiah who had all the answers, to kind of claim that for myself. So it feels like part of my healing journey. And so my habit is like write something every day, even if it's like for 20 minutes. So there's just to be in that flow. And I've been in that flow in the last few days, and it's like, it puts me in a stream where I'm like, sometimes living my life on a different plane, right? Because I'm like always sort of devoted to this thing that's trying to come out of me, even if it's not coming. It's like with the knowing that it's coming. And so my question is around a block that I have, around, and I've brought it here before, so it's just always keeps coming up, which is like, I want to write about parenting and race, and I want to write about like raising an only child and claiming your wisdom, and there's this story that I have that like a coach has like the three tips, you know, like, and if I don't have the three tips, and I'm not, and it's like I support people with this, right? So I'm like trying to live into like in that approach, even though I know it's like I need to solve my clients' problems and I need to be of service to them. It just like it cramps my style.
Totally. Yeah. I think that that's an old story that needs to go. So, I first I just want to say, like, I disagree completely with that story. And here's why people buy things. Like, for sure they buy, we know, like, marketing, right? Standard marketing. And it is true, like, for sure people buy things because they have a problem that they want solved, right? So yes, you do need to be putting that out, right? But here's the other thing. That's not the only factor. Like, when somebody makes a decision to buy, particularly if it's not a product, but when they're buying from a person, or an organization, the solving of the problem is the most important thing, but there are a couple of other decisions that go, like factors that then go into that process, right? So yes, that's the most important thing, but here are the other things. Number one, does this person's values match my own? Number two, does this person get me? Number three, do I like this person? So when we start to take those things into consideration, it makes perfect sense to be writing about these other topics which are not the three tips to whatever, mm-hmm. right? But they serve as the layer underneath, right? That, does that make sense how I'm articulating
yeah.
it?
Right? Yeah.
So 100%. So, you know, these days there isn't one, it used to be that, okay, my newsletter sold this, or my social media sold this or whatever, but now everything kind of works together because so many people catch us in different ways. So I can't say like this specifically, but I can still speak to it. I sell a lot from Facebook, mm-hmm. and most of my Facebook is writing about topics that have not, that are tangential to my programming.
Yeah.
And I'll try to make the loop as much as I can, the connection as much as I can, mm-hmm. you know, but it's not like I write about my parenting. I write about, you know, Jewish tradition and ritual. I write about difficulties that I'm having in my life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the times when I then take those and send them out via newsletter, those are the emails that the articles we get the most responses to. And like, thank you so much. And, you know, all of that. Now, is someone buying like right directly from that article? No. But right. Is that going into the ultimate decision? 110%. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I know I just kind of spoke at you a lot, so I'm going to stop, but tell me what's sparking for you? What's feeling important here for you?
Yeah, it's helpful to hear about the balance because there's, you know, and I had this question, like, and this is for my clients too, is like, is just writing what's in your heart and like sharing your truth marketing, right?
It is, so long as the other pieces are there.
Yeah. Right. And so I appreciate the balance of both, and that either or story isn't helpful.
Yeah.
And especially the way that it kind of blocks my own voice. And, so yeah, so I feel like it's permission, and I know for myself that I tend to resonate with people who like have that style, right? Like some people, it's a stylistic thing, right? It's like,
totally.
Some people, you know, some people are just always going to be that three tips person, and that's okay. Like, I appreciate their tips.
Right. You know? Right. Totally. Right. The tips are great, but it's more than that, right? It's, and I think the people that you're calling to want more mm-hmm. than that.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I use this example in one of our calls, not was coaching you, but with someone else a couple months ago, but I'm going to use it again because I think it's so important. It's not coaching, but still it's, I think it will help. You know, what makes a brand is so much more than the product.
Right.
Right. So like, one of the best examples of this is Ben and Jerry's. Like, why do people pick Ben and Jerry's over other ice creams? Well, yeah, they do happen to have a very good product.
Yeah.
Right. But that's not the only reason. Like, they are so clear about their values. Right. And that's just, you know, what that company stands for, the experience of going into the store, which has nothing to do with ice cream, right? But it's like, mm-hmm. there's fun, the way they have their labeling, right? Because so that can be akin to these other things that you would do in your coaching business. All of that comes together to create the brand.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I think for the people that I would want to work with, it's like, essential, right? That they have these other layers.
Yeah. And I would
yearn for too.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, I would even write about that, right? Like my community is made up of multi-passionate people. We can't be put into the box of just this. And we're not meant to serve our communities in that way either. Mm-hmm. Right. And like the Here's another thing that sells: debunking myths, like the marketing principle. Like another thing that helps somebody buy is to tell them that like what everybody else is saying is wrong. Right? And the reason why they haven't gotten what they want yet is because they've been doing it in that way that everybody else is talking about.
Right. So debunking the myth that you need to be a three-tip problem solver to be a coach or to be a thought leader, whatever.
Yeah, I can almost see that as a subject heading already for an email, right?
Awesome. This is super helpful. You've given me things to write about alongside a framework that I can pass along. And I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Good. And I'm so glad that you're writing every day. And I'm so glad that you're going to bring your voice out. Even you already do bring your voice out so much, Kara, and are so inspiring around that. I'm so glad you're bringing it out even more.
Thank you.
Shamet.
Hello. I was just wondering if you had any suggestions in dealing with physical pain, because I'm still in quite a lot of pain, and I understand what's going on. I know why I'm in the situation I'm in. I know it's my, you know, it's on my feminine side. You know, it's an injury that then I got frozen shoulder from working on the computer for 3 months doing the summit and not, you know, taking care of myself because I was so passionately creating the summit and everything. But it feels like I'm a bit stuck at the moment. Like I get a lot of it, but there's still like, and actually, you know, I can lift my arm now and I can move it and I've done a lot of work, but there's still like this piece that it's just hanging on, like, and it grips. So I'll move it in a certain way and it'll actually physically like grip me. And it's excruciating pain goes down my arm. And I'm really struggling, actually.
Yeah. I'm so sorry that that's still lingering after all this time. I can't imagine what that's like.
Well, we're also moving at the end of this month, on the 30th. And then my priestess training starts on the 8th. So, you know, there's a lot of emotion coming up around if I'm not healed, how am I going to be holding space for others? And, you know, all that, all of it's come really. Yeah.
Absolutely. Don't apply any myth of perfection there, right? It's not like you're healed or not healed and then you can or you can't, right? It's not. Are you working with the physical? Yeah, I know you were working with a physical therapist. Are you still?
I'm doing everything I can. I've got a chiropractor, a physiotherapist, and a massage therapist.
I'm so glad.
And yeah, I'm doing yoga every day.
I'm glad you're in good hands. So, your original question was like, do I have any suggestions for the physical pain? And that's not, really my expertise, but as I listen to you speak, you know, the question that, you know, if we were to believe that the mind and body are connected, which I do, the question that comes up for me is, what are you still gripping onto?
Well, that is an interesting question. Wow, what am I gripping onto? You know, what came up for me in yoga, and I was really quite surprised about this, Joanna, the day before yesterday, was I just started doing this movement and I started saying, get off my back. Like really like angry, get off my back. And I felt like there's this energy attacking me and just really like coming at me really intense, like a psychic attack. And so I worked with that and I was like, okay, what is this? And then I acknowledged it and I figured out what it was and where it was coming from. And I was actually able to move a lot of it. like a lot came, like released, and actually my whole arm just went as well. And so then I sent a message to this person that I felt like this was coming from. But I think maybe now I have some releasing to do around that. Oh,
Yeah,
forgive
so
me.
that might be an important piece of work. I mean, to do in general, right? And it may impact your shoulder. So, I would do that releasing work and let go, because you did mention the word gripping a couple of times, right? So do that release, that let go work. I do also wonder, because I know there was so much that came through the summit. It's like so much incredibleness, but also like so much, there was some pain. And I do wonder what your, and then the shoulder happened right at the end of that. And so I'm wondering if there's some pieces that you're still gripping onto around the summit as well.
Yeah, I don't feel like I've fully processed all of that. I feel like there's no way that I even could have completely processed all of that yet.
Yeah, it was so much.
There's a
So
lot of
again, like
process.
who I don't know, like it's not my, but my sense is the more that you can unpack that, do the release work, and then see what notice your shoulder as you continue to work with the physical therapist and all of that. But there, if there's a connection, it's probably going to be to these things.
Wow, it's so definitely connected, isn't it? Because the frozen shoulder didn't happen until the summit was completed. It was like, you know how people work really hard and then they go on holiday and then they get sick? It was like that.
Yeah, well, it was like your body, didn't knew enough to let you wait, right? Like you had to get through. But it's interesting that like the diagnosis is frozen, right? So,
Okay,
and so there might be some journaling and unpacking there as well.
thawing. It's still
Yeah.
thawing, isn't it? So it can be
Right.
processed.
Well, right. That's a great journaling question. What wants to be thawed?
Okay, thank you, Joanna. That helps a lot. That's huge. Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Okay. Corinne, before I swing to you, I felt like when I moved on to Shamet's question, I felt like a lot came through in what I was sharing with Kara, and I just wanted to see if anybody had any other thoughts on that or what you were seeing. And Bryn, I'll get to you too. Maybe the two of you lower your hands just in case you want to raise them again for this question that I'm asking, and then I'll get to you for your questions. But yeah, I just feel like maybe if there wants to be a little bit more discussion on what Kara and I were talking about, because I feel like it's applicable to all of us in our marketing. I'd love to hear just what, from a few of you, what you're seeing from what Kara and I took a look at. How can you apply that to your own work and business and marketing? What feels important there for you? Corinne.
What came up for me in your conversation is how hard it's been for me in the past to have a target audience, to know who I am talking to. And I still struggle with who am I talking to. So most of the time I talk to myself, right? It's like if I have this issue, then there's somebody else. So maybe my target audience is me,
Yes, it is
right?
100% a version of you for sure.
Right. And then continuously working through that fear of being sharing too many vulnerable, sharing too be too vulnerable in my shares, and just constantly calming down my fear of being found out I'm a fraud and do it anyway. That's kind of what came up for me.
Do you it's funny, just this last piece that you're saying about calming down your fear of being a fraud. Do you speak to your community about that?
Yeah, I do. Not often, but I'll, it's just, it's a theme for sure in some of my writing.
Yeah. It feels important because I know that's, you know, that's been a theme for you in your work.
Right. Right.
And, but it's true. I mean, I feel like I'm always speaking to myself too, or a version of me, you know, 100%. So I think in some ways you do know your ideal client.
I think I do, but if any marketing guru, a person, which I, who's your avatar? I'm like, it's my first response is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because I don't have it, like I have not been able to put it down on a piece of paper it's almost like commit myself to an avatar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a couple things on that just to think about. Number one, I know it's annoying to say, but I'm just going to say, I think you do have an avatar. It just maybe doesn't fit into like what the marketing gurus say an avatar needs to be.
Yes, I think
I know because in conversations with you, you've described to me who is perfect for your work and who you help best and what they grapple with, you know, and what they desire. That's it right there.
It's like an old story and I'm holding on to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally. You do know, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, love the marketing gurus and also F the marketing gurus because it doesn't have to be that way too, right?
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nicole.
Hi, Kara's question really helped me because I write a lot like Kara does every day, but lately I felt stuck and wrestling with finding the words to put them outside and be visible, like everybody is visible and you have to be visible. And to debunk the myth in our industry, this really helps me to write even more and to put that outside. So today I wrote a post about, I wrestled with this. You have to be visible. And I wrote a post about why should you be visible? Is it something you desire or do you want to be visible? Because lately I didn't feel like being visible. So I wrote about that. And I think I doubt a little bit because I'm launching something, so I have to be visible. But why not being visible with the wrestling and the stuff like that? So I also wrote something about start before you're ready. It's a very popular quote from Rifolio, which were also very popular in the Netherlands. And I thought, that is not me. So I wrote, feel it before you're ready. So I
missed a lot.
Kara helps me reminding this that I can put that stuff outside just to talk out loud instead of only in all my notebooks. So thank you, Kara, for your questions. It helps me doing my marketing on my terms because that is what I want to show my people. You can do it on your own terms. So thank you. That's what I'd like to share.
I love it. I love it. I'm so, so happy all of that's coming together 100%. And, you know, for everybody, if you want to take on this piece of homework, identify what's one myth in your industry that you disagree with, that you're just like, no, that you want to debunk and see if you want to write a post or an article about that. It will get attention. I can almost, you know, guarantee that. It will create a conversation. Great. All right, Karin.
Okay. Lots is happening here. There's just like a whirlwind of stuff. I just went to a just an amazing training, learning how to do the work that I do about adding energy to it. And since this, it's like my client sessions are like on fire, and they're just having these breakthroughs in a tenth of the time it would have taken me in the past. It was just like amazing. In doing the work myself, there's so much that's shifted inside. So there's just a couple of just, I want to celebrate a few things. One is I released my fear of charging or my belief that I'm not worth it. And it's only the 7th of April and I signed 4 new clients and all 4 of them were like, oh my God, you are so reasonable. And it was like in releasing that belief around charging, the very first call, I was just like, no, this is my price. And like, if you think it's too much, that's you. But this is like, I can't go below it because then I get a little angry when I work with you. Mm-hmm. And that felt powerful. And the new clients that are coming in, they're finding me on Google. They're doing a Google search on shadow work and I'm coming up and they say, I've really called to you. And it's like, it is my ideal clients that's calling me. So like, yay for working with energy. With all that, my biggest question today is that I am moving to Sweden. So there's a lot of things changing in our lives, and we're at the place where we could really go anywhere we want. There's nothing that's holding us here, which is Massachusetts. So we're like, why not Sweden? And my mom is 81 and could really use some extra support. So I am looking to move, and there's a lot of moving parts with that too. It's like I have to go and establish myself, establish my residency, and become a Swedish citizen again. And then I have to apply for my husband to get his work permit. And that can take up to a year. So it'd be a year of living on separate continents. In my mind, I am thinking it will be I'm doing the same work no matter where I am. But I'm curious if you know of somebody that moved that could give me some business savvy on what should I think about. Should I run my business as separate? Should I create a new business in Sweden?
So first of all, whoa, that's really big. It's a big deal.
It's been 30 years here.
Yeah. It's exciting too, right? It feels like new cycle, you know, coming back to that home place and all of that. I don't know of anyone that has moved to Europe, but I do. Well, and Nicole can speak to this too. You know, I do have clients that are in Europe, and the biggest thing so far as I know that is something to think about is that the rules are different for online businesses are different there. So one of my clients has a very, very, very big business in Switzerland. And, you know, sometimes when we're looking at marketing things together and I'll suggest something and she's like, no, I'm not allowed to do that. Oh, and Shamet's in Sweden. Of course, Shamet lives in Sweden. So you can talk to her about that. But anyway, sometimes, you know, I'll suggest a marketing thing and she's like, no, I'm not allowed to do that with my list. We're not allowed to look at those things, or I have to. So there's some more hoops if you're established as a European business owner in terms of how you can market, how you can send newsletters or not send newsletters, how you can track who's in your community and not in your community. So that's a place to get, I think, one of the first places to get educated, because that will help you make a more educated decision about how, if you move your web, you know, I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but so there is that legal piece that does affect marketing. I don't, it's not incredibly restrictive, but there are pieces to it. So
that GDP or whatever they call that thing.
Of that.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a big piece. And then, you know, I think there are personal questions for you around, do you want to establish a local business? Do you want to do local networking? If you are going to do that, I mean, I don't know how your Swedish is, but, you know, do you want all of your materials only in English? Do you want materials in English and Swedish? I'm pausing because I'm like, is that what they speak in Sweden? Is it Swedish?
They do speak Swedish, and I am fluent in Swedish. I have never coached in Swedish. Mm-hmm. I've never done shadow work in Swedish. So I can imagine that it's going to not take me long to wrap my head around. I do have one Swedish client and we do Swenglish.
Right. Right. So yeah, so I think it's, you know, so then you've got like some that you don't have to decide right away, but there are some choices. Like, do you want to reach out to that community? If so, will your English website be where it makes the most sense to direct them, or does there need to be a different website to direct, you know? So it's not just do this. It's kind of like, you know, you want to think through how do you want to be operating in your business too?
No. So, to start with, until I figure it all out, I'm like keeping this like, not on the Facebook radar. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just kind of keeping it quiet because in my mind, I'm continuing to run my business in America.
Yeah.
With like keeping my address here and keeping the website and the mailing list. And in order to not turn away clients because I live on a different continent.
Yeah.
So kind of continue to do it that way. And just from the time difference, I'll just be, you know, shifting my workday.
Right. I mean, that's kind of one of the pluses of your husband kind of taking more time, right? You are kind of dual residents for a while. And so I wouldn't make any big decisions until you're there and you're settled and you're, you know, and also, I mean, I have a client that just moved, you know, within the States, but, you know, just like holding space for her. I mean, it's a big deal to move. It's a big deal in general to move. And then you're moving back to where you were born, which holds a particular kind of, you know, lots is going to be kind of coming up through the transition. And so, you know best, but my sense is like, keep one thing stable while everything else needs to fall in place.
Right.
And then make some decisions once you're settled outer, you know, inner and outer in a way.
Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah, it's scary and it's exciting. And it's like 30 years ago, I was an immigrant. And now really, I'm going to be an immigrant again, because Sweden is not the same it was.
Yeah.
So it's like figuring out how to live in a different country again. And part of me is just super excited, loving the adventures.
It's really exciting.
Right. And I can always come back.
You can always come back, but it's, I feel like it's going to bring some maiden springtime energy, you know, new beginnings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one more question. And I might have asked this before, but I don't remember the answer. And Shamit, I would love to connect with you. I'm doing the women's dragon training this spring, and I'm going to call it Creatrix : Meet Your Dragon, Face Your Dragon. But I'm looking for affiliates, and where is there somewhere that I can like tap into, ask this community? Is it okay to do that on the Facebook group?
Absolutely. Yes, okay. Please do. I'd love to see you all supporting each other.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Great. And Shamit, where in Sweden are you?
I'm in Stockholm.
No way.
Yeah. We just bought a house. So where? We're here for the long haul. Tullinge.
Tullinge. All right.
Do you know Tullinge?
I do. So I'm looking for Hammarbyhöjden.
Just south
of the city.
Okay. Yeah, we moved here.
I'll let you guys take this offline, but that's so cool. Sure. I'm so happy. I hope you get to meet in person.
Yeah.
All right, Bryn.
Thank you, Joanna.
You're welcome.
Hi. Thank you for your feedback for the note I put in on Facebook. And I have a question about preview presentations.
Mm-hmm.
So could you tell me a little bit how that works?
Yeah, so a preview presentation is usually something that's free or low cost. That can be in person, it can be on Zoom, it can be, you could use PowerPoint or you can just speak, but it's a way to provide and create an experience for an ideal client, for an offering that you have. You know, you can think of it as almost like a mini workshop, but the idea is that whatever the topic you choose, it leads into the offering. And at the end, or at some point during the preview, you're going to speak about your offering. Excuse me. So I'm sure you've been to one of my preview workshops, right? It's a way to connect with people so that they can get to see you and know you, and to build investment in the topic, right? Or in the topics that you would look at together. So, you know, if you were to do a preview presentation at the school, I think it would be something, I forget the wording that you used in the Facebook group. It was so good, one of your sentences, but it was something about like, you know, overcoming the overwhelm. So you had like three things from the pandemic. Like that's what I would do that workshop on, where they would just, first you would like have them explore, you know, how are they overwhelmed? Where do they not feel caught up? How have they not been taking care of themselves, right? To just kind of, so they can see like, oh my gosh, I need that. Like this is, I have issues here, you know, with this. And then back to Kara's three tips, then you might like you speak on three lightly on three different things, share a little bit about it and how you help people with this. You help your clients with this when you work together. And then you would make an invitation. In the member center, for Coaching Mastery Circle, there are two different training recordings on preview calls. One is from your sacred business. I think it's called Preview Presentations. And then the other is specifically about calls to action.
Okay. Thank you for that overview. I think that, and yes, I've been
talking. I can't hear you.
My phone or my thing. Thank you again for that overview. And yes, I have been on many of I never think of them as a preview presentation. I'm like, oh, what's Joanna got now? So I mean, that's how I kind of look
well,
at it.
Well, that's right. That's how you want it to feel. Like, this is a topic that I want to hear about. And what does she have next? Right. Like it's.
Well, it works on me, what you're doing. So it's all, that's good. But my thought process is maybe I need to work on this. What am I thinking, like my filters, whatever. I just am so excited to coach. I just want to get to the coaching. I don't want to, I mean, can I not, I mean, do I have to do, do I think I have to?
Right. I don't know. So my answer is, I don't know. It all depends on how much of a warm introduction the principal is going to make, you know, right? Like if you send this note and he's like, this is a great idea, right? And yes. And then he individually writes to each of the teachers that he thinks would make a great fit and connect to directly, or he writes to all the teachers, but it's this really like passionate, you know, warm email, like you've got to get in touch with Bryn, right? Like, then no, you don't need a preview presentation. I think that would be enough for some people to reach out to you. But if not, having an opportunity to meet you and to spend a little risk-free time with you, you know, in a group presentation, you know, you might need that. So you can try to take it in steps, like see if you want to just go for it first and see if you can direct him, you know, how to make the connections. And then down the line, do a preview. One thing that will help you, I didn't put this in the Facebook group, but one thing that will help you is to articulate, and you do in that great, that one great sentence, but you may even want to pull it out a little bit further, to articulate what's in it for him if his teachers get this support. And when I say for him, I mean for him in the school, right? Like, how will that make his job easier and him look better if his teachers are in a more grounded, better place? So that makes
sense. What's in it for him? Yeah, the whim. What's exactly in it for him?
Because it's like, yeah, you are selling this to them, but you need to sell it to him in order to be able to sell it to them. And selling it to him is about what's in it for him.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Okay. Thank you. Very, very good point there and suggestion. I have two things I can't. One is, okay, so if I didn't do the preview presentation, I get it, the purpose of that. If I did enclosed a video, like after having the conversation with the principal, enclosed maybe like a little video with my email thing, then maybe that could be like, I'm talking directly to you. Hey there, you know, I'm me, this is who I am, blah, blah, blah. And this is why I'm really excited to have, you know, work with you.
Yes. I love that idea.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah. Not too long.
No,
promise. Yeah, like
I don't want to be there on too long.
Yeah, four or five minutes max.
And I guess why, because it's kind of a trial thing, right? Because I'm only offering it to three people. That's why I kind of didn't want it. I wanted to be low key. And if it got to like people really, really liked it and the principal saw exactly how it benefited, then maybe it could be a bigger scale. And then I wouldn't mind thinking of doing the preview presentation. I really appreciate everybody's feedback on that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I really like the idea of the video too. I think it will be good for you anyway, to make it, you know, to stretch in that way.
Yeah. Okay. All right, cool. Thanks,
Jen. All right. Keep us posted and let us know what you need. Michelle.
Thank you. I wanted to ask your wisdom around emailing, and to the lists that I have, and more specifically, two parts. Number one, I've been negligent in communicating with my list. I communicate on social media. I have a very large group, but and I write, you know, and post to my blog, but I'm not great at sending emails. And I think part of it is a resistance that I have, because I feel like some people, I get overwhelmed. I don't even get a chance to read the emails that they sent. There's so many of them. And I feel like there's a part of me, well, that's how it's going to land in their inbox. So sort of the why bother? Well, then the other part of it is coupled with that, well, I haven't done it in a while. And then there's been an evolution in my business. So the primary place where I have a fairly large list is through either course sales or opting in to receive a free guide, which is around transaction coordinating, which supports real estate agents. And many of those people have their own business. Well, I have that, but I also, you know, last year published a book. I have a trademark for Soul Crafted Success. I have a vision for business not just being about numbers and, you know, being a very conscious about where we buy things from. Just before this, I too sat down and wrote an article about, like, in the old days, we went to like the woo-woo shops to buy crystals. Now that shit is everywhere in the mall and it pisses me off. Like, you don't know what this rose quartz is for, right? Like, I was so enraged.
Or where it's been.
Right. So all that to be said, there's a part of me, like, I'll post that. That'll be a blog. That doesn't feel like an email. And yet, I think what I'm trying to get to is I don't know how to revive that list, but then I really want those people to either say yes to my Soul Crafted Success and that vision of the business and the business world that I see, or to kick sand and go somewhere else because I'm not their person for them. So I'm going to stop right there, and hopefully that gave you some background and you can help me.
I just first a couple of questions. So the Soul Crafted Success, you don't have an active newsletter community or list there. It's just
I have a little list of people that have opted in because I have a giveaway. I have a PDF, a large workbook, mm-hmm. and an audio that goes with it. So I do have an opt-in there, and we're working now to begin to implement growing that list. But I don't have any consistency in marketing to either one of them.
Okay. And to either of those.
Yeah. They are all in the same database. However, I use Entreport, okay. And they're all within there. So.
And when you say you don't have consistency, just tell me a little bit more what that means.
I haven't sent an email out since before we moved here last year in June.
Okay. So about
other than when people opt in and they receive a short sequence.
So to either community.
Correct.
Okay. And sorry, just a few more questions. So okay. I'm hearing that some of the not sending is this resistance, like there's so many emails out there. I don't want to just bombard people because I don't even read emails. Is there anything else going on?
Yes. Oh, I mean, I read some, but I will say the other part of, I think that I have a hesitation with is, you know, real estate is a very masculine energy. Typically the people within it, it's very numbers driven. It's very celebrated if you accomplish this goal and that goal, where I think business and life should be bigger and broader than that. It's not just how many widgets you sold. It's how do you feel? And so I think there's also a slight hesitation with me around, I'm not shy on social media about introducing that, but I haven't introduced that very much into that real estate space where I have that list of business owners who support real estate agents.
Got it. Yeah. And that has its own, just because I don't know that much about your business, like that has, you have your own offerings there and that's kind mm-hmm. of running.
It just does its thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Runs itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Are you, and do you feel like you want to, and you're willing to work on a consistent newsletter?
Yes. I said no to some things to create some space and block some time on my calendar to make that happen.
Okay.
Yeah. And I love to write. I mean, I have mm-hmm. another book I'm working on too. So writing is not an issue. It's feeling right. Feeling good about where I'm putting it, I think is part of it.
Okay. Yeah. All of that makes sense. So, okay, there are a couple pieces that I'm going to kind of piece together. So
thank you.
Before you get to seeing who on the transaction, in the transaction real estate community might be wanting to be in the Soul Crafted community, mm-hmm. you want some consistency in the Soul Crafted community.
Okay.
So that you know that if you're taking the effort to bring those people over, they're not going to just end up in the middle of a desert. You know, they're going to be hearing from you. So I think phase one, you know, we can call it, is about getting more consistent in the Soul Crafted newsletter community. Okay. And my sense, just from even just what you just described, is you've got tons of articles inside of you, and you probably have tons of posts that you've already written that can either be an article or just be elongated a little bit into an article. They don't have to be very long, you know, especially because there's so much writing out there, sometimes shorter. I mean, you know, I'm wordy, but like sometimes shorter is better too, right? But so I bet you or your assistant could go through your last, you know, 6 months or year of posts, and you probably have a weekly or every other weekly newsletter, you know, for a bit.
Okay.
But if not, you know, just commit to like every week or every other week. And you, similar to what Kara and I were talking about, you know, let all of your passion come through there. You know what I mean? Because it's going to end up being related to Soul Crafted business in one way or another. Like, really enjoy the writing with that. I'd say once you know that you're getting consistent there, you've already gotten out 2 or 3 consistent newsletters, you've got the production schedule, you know that it's happening, then you can work on moving over whoever would be appropriate from the one community to the other. And my sense is to do it in a series of emails. So the first could be like, almost like a, you know, what is Soul Crafted business and is it for you? And to just really share what it's about. And then at the end, you know, let them know that if this is the type, you know, if they resonate with this, if this feels like the way that they want to run their business, I have this community, you can opt in here. You know, and give them the link. So that would be email number one. Mm-hmm. Email number two could be a week later, 10 days later. You could space them out a bit if you want. And be like, a week ago, I emailed you about Soul Crafted business. I wanted to share this free gift with you. And then I would share your opt-in with them. And then I'd send one more email with the opt-in, you know, but maybe with a little bit of different copy.
Okay.
And tell me if this is too much. You know, I wouldn't like say this to everybody, but I feel like you can maybe handle this. As you're doing this, I would already think about, when do you want to have some kind of free preview or talk or low-cost workshop for the Soul Crafted community, to like revive people, to welcome the new people in, to teach on a topic, to make an offering.
Oh, you're asking me to stretch really far. No, that's really, really helpful. Thank you. I made 2 pages of notes real quick. But I will think about that. Thank you. That's, in one-on-one conversations with people, I think I could talk all day, but I have not done a presentation or any kind of a preview or anything about that. It never even came to mind, to be quite honest with you.
I mean, I did not know that, but I suspected that. And one of the reasons I'm suggesting it is because I see your energy as you're talking about it. You're so passionate about it. You have so much to say about it. I have this sense, Michelle, I mean, I know that you're super confident, but I have this sense that like the Soul Crafted has been the like, look at this, and then hide behind the thing.
Oh,
look at
sure.
And, you know,
sure.
I think that you're ready to be, you don't have to do a preview, but I think you could end up having fun with it. You can really be in your mastery, in your element. And it's such a warm way of bringing people into it with you.
Yeah. Okay. I like that a lot. Thank you. And I will take that advice to heart. I appreciate your help.
You're very welcome. All right. Who else? What else do you need? What else can I help with? Shamit.
Well, so my priestess training starts May 9th.
Yay!
I'm very excited and looking forward to it. But the thought of, you know, like what you were just talking about, Michelle, I totally relate as well with the emails. And I also have that same kind of block of always being afraid of spamming people and sending too much to their inbox. So I make it a point not to send too many emails out. But then I think, oh, now I'm not feeding, you know, the business or the people. And so it's like this double-edged sword I always battle with. And so I'm approaching the priestess training, and I have 8 beautiful goddesses attending, but I would really like 13. So I've started marketing a little bit again, kind of emerging out of my wintering. But the thought of doing a workshop or another free after doing the summit and everything is like, I don't have the energy for it, especially since we're moving. So what would be your suggestions? Like maybe a free PDF or
no? No, I mean, in that case, probably the best thing to do is invite people into conversations with you. So to have a series of emails where you really speak about, what's the name of the program?
Awaken the Priestess Within.
So I love that. So a series of emails where you speak about like, what is an awakened priestess? What does that mean? What happens in your life when you awaken that from within? Who do you become? How do you show up? And not a lot of writing, but really activate that and then say, I have a sacred circle of women coming together in May to do this deep life-changing work. I have a handful of spots left. Would you like to talk about it? Would it make sense for us to connect, you know, and then give people instructions on how to set up a call with you? Not one email, you probably need 3 or 4. Doesn't have to be in a row. It can be over 10 days or something like that, but where it's really this theme of awakening the priestess within. Whatever emails you write, post them on social media as well. Invite people that way. And if you don't, the other thing is, if you don't feel like doing a whole preview, you could do a Facebook Live. That's essentially what you're writing in the emails. I mean, the thing is, you have to say the same thing like 100 times over, you know, in marketing. So you literally just do a Facebook Live on it too. You could invite your community to the Facebook Live as well. You know, that could be one of the emails, but so that's how I would do it. If you don't want to do like a preview, I think a PDF is a longer funnel. You know, people need a PDF, and then from the PDF, they do a preview, and then from the preview, a call. Like if you kind of want a shorter, and it takes time to create a PDF, all of that. So
it does. Yeah. So you think writing the emails and inviting them into the Facebook Live? That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then from the Facebook Live, you can invite them, but also do a couple of emails where you just invite them straight into a conversation with you. You know, it's hit or miss. Like years ago, I could do a campaign that was just straight into enrollment conversations, and we'd get like dozens of people. Because it's so saturated now, you know, it's not as many, but you may get a couple of really qualified conversations. It's worth a try for sure.
And how many times a week do you think I should email?
I would think about it. I mean, twice a week for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, maybe the week of the Facebook Live, send 2 emails. And then after that, or before that, however you want to do it, you know, 3 emails over 10 days. That's just about getting in touch for a conversation.
It's been interesting doing the connection calls because I haven't had very good luck with them. I've been stood up several times, and it's been very frustrating, actually. So I haven't had, actually, you know what? I haven't had any success with the one-on-one calls. So
interesting. Do you use the format that I lay out?
No, I didn't know.
So, okay. It's a time investment, which you may or may not have right now, but you've got in your member center a 5-hour enrollment conversation training with templates and different ways to get people to the call, and then exactly how to move through a connection call. It's too much for me to lay out here, but
yeah. Well, it's 5 hours. So right. Yeah, I did see that in there. Yeah.
Right. I mean, I know I'm speaking about my own thing, but I just have to say it is very good. So it's worth it. You have it. It's there for you. If you have the time, it's worth listening to. I think it can help.
You know what? Actually, no, I take that back. I have had 2 clients one-on-ones with connection calls. Okay, I take that back.
Awesome.
I've had some success, but it hasn't been as successful as I thought.
Sometimes, I mean,
and then they don't turn up, and then we reschedule, and then they don't turn up again. And
so that, if that's the problem, if it's not once they get to the call, but it's the showing up,
yeah,
then it's a little bit, what you're giving them once they sign up for the call, like what are you telling them about the call, how to show up, why it's going to be important for them, what they're going to get out of it. You know, so you might want to look to tighten that up a bit.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And Bob.
Hi, sorry I came and left. I'm really revisiting like my containers with clients, especially the longer term ones. So I mentioned like on Facebook that there was one client who, you know, like we've done such amazing work, and also because she wants to be a coach herself, that I think that there's a lot of like mentoring that I could provide. I ended up sending her, so these are like longer term clients. Like I've been working with her, you know, on and off like for years. So I ended up deciding to send her like a maintenance package of like once a month, and then the regular like twice a month that she's been doing. Anyway, I don't know why I mentioned that. I'm actually like, there's another client who it's like, it's great when we meet, but it's been so loosey-goosey in her last program. And just when it's like, I think that we're like getting, you know, cause it's like, I want people to use the coaching like as needed. Like I want them to like live their lives, but it's just becoming, and the sessions work because she does the form. But, and so I think it's working for her, but we're not meeting as often as we agreed. And, you know, we'll be on like an every 2-week schedule, and then she'll reschedule. And part of it is that I just haven't been like keeping up with the admin of like, you know, where is she? Because several times in the beginning of the year, it was like, hey, like, let's go back and look at your goals. And then she doesn't do it. So it's also like, it seems to be working for her. So I'm just curious, like, how much more effort, like, do I make to kind of like get her to center or agree on goals? Because it was like, great, now we have this new year, 2021. And then it was like, great, like, now it's spring, like, yeah, so we meet, when we meet, she shows up, like she, but there isn't.
You just go with what she needs in the moment.
Yeah.
What's your intuitive sense?
I mean, my intuitive sense is like that I do have a responsibility to be like, all right, Kate, like, what are we doing? Or like, you know, obviously not that, but like, okay. You know, what do you want to get from this? Like, let's regroup and try that again.
Yeah.
But I'm also thinking in terms of like continuing, you know, do I offer her like, let's connect once a month?
When is she ending her?
I'm not even sure, but we're about like 2/3 through in her program.
Okay. So, I mean, here, just a couple of thoughts. So number one, I wonder if it makes sense to write to her and say, because I'm assuming like she has a little bit of a session backup too, if she's been. So I would just write to her and say, you know, we're 2/3 of the way through our program, and this is a perfect time for us to have a full session on, and it's spring, you know, like whatever, it's for us to have a full session on like, what do you want for the rest of the year? What are your goals? Don't have her do it on her own, you know, and say, so let's schedule a time, you know, a session in the next 2 weeks, you know, even if you have another session close to that, right? That's specifically dedicated to like goals and visions for the rest of 2021. You can make it sound a little more exciting, maybe, you know? And then you just have her in the container of the session, and I would go through a visioning process with her. And then at the end of the process, you know, hopefully there won't be a ton of resistance and some really awesome things will come out of it. And so if that's the case at the end, you know, obviously like celebrate all the things that come out so exciting and say, you know, in order for us to like really get you on track with this, I really feel like we need to meet pretty consistently every 2 weeks, right? And so then you can reset it that way. If it turns out that she has a lot of resistance and it's hard to come up with a ton of goals, which I'm like even hesitant to say, because I don't think that's going to happen, you know, and I don't want you to go in like thinking that's going to happen, but I don't know, because she's been resistant, like let's say nothing, you know, too exciting comes out of it, then you can sense it, you know, just use your intuition then in ball to see what's best, if it's okay to keep on going as is, or if you want to reset the container. But I think that's a very like outside chance that that will happen.
Yeah, I think that like, you know, like I was saying, like part of it is me and just like keeping up with, you know, with some of the admin of like where she is, and because we're not meeting consistently. And I think part of it is that like, yeah, I mean, she travels a lot. You know, she skis a lot. She's dating a new guy. So, and it's helpful, and she's present when she does show up. So part of it is I also want to set up for continuing or not.
Yeah. No, I hear you. But that's what I'm saying. Like, do the vision first and then see what makes sense.
So what sort of visioning process? I don't know if I'm like overthinking, but I'm like, what does she mean?
You could, I mean, you don't have to do this via visualization, but I'm thinking that if she's open to visualization, you know, to kind of lead her through something where you can either like first like have her walk through each of the rest of the seasons of the year and see what's happening in them, or you can just start at the new year and like you know, what have you accomplished this year? What, you know, what are the new habits that you have? What are the things that you're doing? And kind of like get her into the, like the details of it. You could also bring in like what she's already accomplished as a way of informing what she wants next, and like give her permission, almost like, I know we don't use this so on the team anymore, like in an enrollment conversation so much, but you know, like that old exercise with, of like, if you had a magic wand, you know, what would you want kind of thing? You can take her through every area of her life, you know, so like in your career, you know, whatever her career is, you know, if you had a, like really give her permission to be in that visioning space.
Yeah, that's super. Thank you.
Great. Okay. Anyone else have anything that they want to bring forward today? You have another question, Inbal? You
can go ahead. I'd love to ask another quick question if there's time and energy.
Let me see. Does anyone else that Kelsey, I'm just looking who hasn't spoken. Kelsey or Nicole, do you guys need anything?
No. Joanna, I'm driving, so I'm going to just listen today. It's very helpful to listen. So sorry about that.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Okay.
I was wondering why I didn't see you on the video.
Yeah, it would be a little awkward. It's been very helpful though. So thanks.
Good. All right, Inbal, go ahead.
So I just wanted to ask about that client that I've been asking about, who's like really wanting to become a mom and, but now wants to start like also a wellness center. So finally in our last session, when we're going through like her vision statement, and I had reached out to, so we're getting to the point that she's like, great. So my next, so I did speak with her in the last session, like, look, I would be, you know, I would be out of integrity. Like, I just want to make sure that, you know, this is what I'm thinking of. And so, you know, so she appreciated that. And just talking about, you know, about eliminating stress from her life and not, you know, just looking at the prospect of like initiating two big things at the same time. So, you know, my concern, so her next thing is like to do like a business plan. I don't know anything about that. So, you know, I can help her with, yeah, with the vision and the kind of space that she'd like to create and making space for it in her life. And, you know, and she's extremely resourceful. So, you know, I don't know how to manage that, right? Because there's the woman I thought she could have a interview with who like does help with that. And so I was super honest with the client about this. We've been working together for a long time. Like, I'm not going to hold resources from her.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, so I just don't know, like, I guess kind of like what further responsibility I have, because I tend to go into over responsibility. So, you know, and this is like a major, yeah, so it's like, or even like what to suggest to her about other people, like, yeah, or other things she needs to think about, or who else she could hire.
Right. Do you feel like, I'm pausing, hold on a second. So first of all, just want to say, like, it's okay, like, you don't need to know everything, right? Like, you don't need to be the, like, hero, like, you know, messiah, like, you know, helping with all the things. I don't even know how to really put together like a business plan for a, you know, in that kind of way, put together a business vision, you know, marketing plan, all of that, but not like that. For business plans, and I think this is what Michelle is referring to as well in the chat, there are like services that do just that. I feel like I've heard of SCORE. I know way back when in the early years in New York, I mean, even, you know, I'm sure every state or city has this, like there was a small business association, like from New York City or from the state where you could go. Dawn and I went for free and they like, it wasn't very helpful, but like they helped us with a business plan, I guess. I don't know. You know, like there are different places where it's not like, oh, now you go to this business coach and I'm not your coach anymore. You know, it doesn't have to be like that. Or she may want to hire someone who is specifically like hardcore business coach and you support her with all of these other pieces around it. But yeah, thank you, Michelle. Like, I think this is a good option. And also whatever city she lives in, what's the Chamber of Commerce or the Small Business Association, there's a lot of free services or low cost services for business plans.
Okay. That's really helpful. I've never heard of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely check it out. Yeah. Britton's giving another thumbs up for it, for SCORE. I've heard of SCORE, but I don't know of it very well.
Yeah, so SCORE, Chamber of Commerce, any like small business association.
Right. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was in New York City. I think it was like the New York City from the city. You know, we went to city offices that they had like a small business office that provided free support for new business owners.
Yeah. And in general, about kind of like, yeah, I mean, there's so much for her still to figure out. And yeah, I'm just trying to work around because I don't think it's a great idea.
Right.
So I'm just trying to, I guess, just to say out loud that I'm trying to like hold that at bay. And yeah, and I'm like super supportive because she's very, and she's like, yeah, I just, you know, I'm someone like, if I believe in something, it'll happen. And like, I cringe. But yeah.
I hear you. And it's about finding, I think it's about being supportive and finding places where you can, the word is, just like support as much as possible. You know, I mean, I have a client who it was a similar thing, which she wants to do. I mean, I just have filters around it. I have opinions around it. I think it's not going to work the way she wants to do it. And she's very passionate about it. So I've never said don't do it, but like as she creates the vision, I'm trying to find the places that make the most sense for her to lean into around it so that she'll be as successful as possible. I don't know if that's helpful or
yeah,
not.
That's really helpful. And just like, yeah, I guess in a way, like, making sure that like she's conscious of like the full picture and that her goals. And I also know like she'll be okay either way, like because of her family and whatever. But yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. And you know, maybe give her some reality check homework too. Like for her to do some research on like how profitable yoga studios are. They are not profitable, except for really big ones in big cities. Like they are passion project. But anyway, don't tell her that. Just give her homework on that, you know, to see like how much do they make. I mean, this is going to be part of the business plan too. And maybe once she does the numbers, it's like when you start to figure out for every $15 yoga class, right? And then what's rent and this, and you pay the teachers out. And then by the time what's left over, that's a pretty good reality check too. And then she'll have all of the information to make the best decision for herself.
Totally. At the last session, I was like, you know, I was like, I just really want you to get grounded. And I was like, let's look at a budget. Like,
exactly. No, but that's the, right. And that's part of what the business plan will do too. But you can already start to help her with that. Like, tell her to do some research on rents. You know, not that she's going to take the space or that, but how much are spaces with the square footage that she wants? You know, how much is a pro? She's going to need some kind of software. You know, how much is that? How much is insurance? Yoga studios need insurance. You know, kind of go through each of the things and then go through like, so if you were to just let's pretend, how much would you charge per class? Yeah. So then based on that monthly budget, how many spaces would you need to sell a month?
Yeah, we've done some of this, like the rent and stuff, but I like, yeah, these details. This is great. And I at least feel relieved that I talked to her about what is your goal? Like, are we still on the same page? And yeah, just that I don't want this to be a distraction.
Yeah.
And she appreciated that, so.
Yeah, so you shared, good.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, we just have a minute left, Shama. I don't know if you have a quickie question or a bigger question.
A very quickie question. It's about our certification. Would this be the space to ask? Rose and I, we met tonight and we were just a little bit confused about the recording. Like, is it a recording at the end of the coaching buddies or is it a recording of a client?
Preferable if it's a client, but if you don't have one, you can do it with your coaching partner.
Oh, okay. So we can do it with a client.
Yeah.
So do we just ask permission from the client to be
exactly
recorded? Oh, exactly. Okay. And how long does it need to be? Like an hour or?
No. Is it 35?
Yeah, it's up to 35 minutes, but aiming for 30 to 35.
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Perfect.
All right, everyone. Sending you lots of love.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Joanna.